Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we think about all you say to us, may it be good news for all of us and for all of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So friends, I think most of you will have been following along with us the last few weeks, but if not, we've been doing a series for the life of the world, where we're thinking about how we as Christians are living like in exile, like when Israel went to Babylon, that we're like that in that we're not quite home yet. And a day will come when God will, when he returns, he will bring the home that we'll be in for eternity. So in that sense, we're not quite home and we're living in exile. Then how do we go about living in exile is the question. And the idea is that we're to seek the good of the city where we live. Because if it prospers, so will we. And the first week, Greg talked about family. How by ourselves, our nature is to give. And as families, nature is to give. And a husband and wife's nature is to give. And that family is the soil of society, or the manure, or the fertilizer of society. Remember that one? And that from that soil, healthy society can grow. Then last week we looked at how the things that we do outside of the home, or for some of us if our work is in the home, how our work as well plays into God's big scheme of things, that all of those things, we work in together more and more with each other, but also our work for God is an offering we give back to him. So today we're looking at the next thing, which is order. How do we live in exile? How do we honour God? And it's with this idea of order. Hands up here if you've ever been to a basketball game. Some. Any seen a basketball game? Yeah, but this would go across to hockey or football, whatever, but I'll start with basketball. I remember on the Australia Day weekend, there's lots of people come to Bendigo, right, for the big basketball tournament. In fact, there's lots of things that happen that weekend, but this year I went and watched my nephew play basketball. He's under 18 boys, and he was in the A grade section, which was a really top-notch basketball, and Bendigo was thought that they were going to win, and Ballarat was one of the other teams that was going to vie for top spot. So I was going to watch this game, and it was a Saturday night, and I was really, really excited. I'm going to see this great game of basketball. Well, anyhow, the game had been going for about a minute, and the umpire made a decision, which I'm like, oh, that's a 50-50 call. And what did the coach do? He was up on the sidelines. Oh, Dad, that's a stupid decision. Like right in the face of the coach, of the umpire. And the umpire straight it back up into the face of the coach, not backing down. Well, 30 seconds later, another decision, which I thought, oh, yeah, fair enough. The coach up in arms again in the umpire's face. The umpire not backing down. And then the players started to catch on this attitude. And so every time the umpire made a decision, the players for this particular team were in the umpire's face. And then what did the umpire do? Did he back off? No, he clamped down even harder, this attitude that was going on. And so then it was just a schmozzle, this whole game of basketball. The umpire was controlling the game entirely and there was no good basketball. It was all about the umpire. Not that the umpire got out of control, but it was clamping down to try and restore order. That's the idea of an umpire, to restore order so that people can play a game. Does that make sense? The next day, I had some friends staying with me and their girl was playing under 14's C-grade basketball. And they were two of the bottom teams in this C-grade basketball. The umpires You hardly even notice that they were there. And you know what? I immensely enjoyed watching that game of basketball. But the other one, I hated it. In fact, I thought if this was basketball, I'd never come back again. Two same game, sort of games, but one was controlled and one was let go. So what does that have to do with us living in exile? In order for our world to run well, we need order. And we need structures in place, like governments, like hospitals, like schools, like councils, like businesses. And they could run well, like the under 14 C grade basketball, or they could run horribly, like that under 18 A. Which one would you prefer to live in? One where people can get on with flourishing and doing what they were meant to do, or one that's being immensely controlled by an external structure? Putting it into our everyday. Why did the government a few years ago say you ought to start wearing seatbelts? Because people are flying out of cars because they're crashing, right? And then the government as well says, let's put a speed limit on. Because, again, we're crashing, we're going out of control. So when the people aren't self-monitoring themselves, living with themselves well, the government will put external laws and rules to try and clamp down. Then they say, you can't drink drive as well because people are doing it. You can't text while you're driving. I don't know why, that's a good thing to be at. But all these laws start to come on because we're getting out of order. Now, these laws are good, but if the government puts too many laws on, we lose our freedom, don't we? And we can't flourish. These systems and structures can be great. They can also be onerous and horrible. And in the cities and the places we live, we want them to be places and organisations that flourish. How do we do that? Well, it's tough because we know full well that we live in a broken world, and each person's a bit broken, and so are our institutions. So in some ways we should expect them to not flourish all the time. But is there a way that we can help them be better so that this world can be good? As we come to this gospel reading, we see that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees on a Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees have got these rules in place, rules that were given by God, actually, about keeping the Sabbath. So there's this order. The Pharisees wanted everybody to keep the Sabbath. And they're being like the umpires, clamping down on people. You broke the Sabbath. Stop it. And they're being really harsh and hard on people. Why? Because they want people to keep the Sabbath. And they really wanted God to be honoured and glorified. But in doing this clamping down, they were quite horrible in doing it. And they would run over people that the Sabbath was meant for, in order to keep those rules. So the Sabbath is good, but the way that they were enforcing this law was quite horrible and onerous. And so here we have Jesus seeing a person who had dropsy, seeing the person and knowing the Sabbath, ask them, is it lawful to heal this person? And the experts said nothing this time. And he points out their hypocrisy, because you would get your son out of a hole, you would get your cattle out of a hole. Why can't I help this person? But this structure, this society structure, was good. but there was something wrong with it. In this structure, the Pharisees were failing to see people. There was no justice in the keeping of the Sabbath in this time. And this is one of the things that can become wrong with our human institutions, is that there is a lack of justice often. And what is justice after all? It's getting what is just. And when we don't get what's just, there's something wrong. Now, what is just? It's being treated as we should be treated, correctly? Is that right? It's being treated as we should be treated. That is just. And we want to argue today that in order for our organisations to run well, they must be just, where people are treated as they should be. Jesus gives us some hints, not that he, I think, was thinking about the order of society when he was at this Pharisee's banquet, but it gives us some hints how we might be able to have a just society when he talks about being humble, not picking the upper seat, but the lower seat when you go to a banquet. Now, what's that going to do? For one, it's going to make you think, oh, no one is... Which way is it? I'm not above everybody else. I'm not above everybody else, but everybody's on my level. When we think we're above others, we can become unjust. And often, people who run things in our society, somehow they're detached from the people that they're serving. And as that happens, it can become unjust, disconnected from the people that they are serving. But Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. At the end of this Luke passage, Jesus says something really amazing. I wonder if you've ever done this. This challenged me quite significantly when I read it. He said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I don't want you to answer the question out loud, but I want you to answer the question with yourself. When was the last time you invited someone who was outcast for a coffee or a dinner or a chat? Or are you one who simply invites your friends, your neighbours, your relatives? And we can understand why we do invite our friends, our neighbours, our relatives, because it's fun, right? And we've got a lot in common with them. But Jesus is challenging us to so much more. He's challenging us to seek out those people who might otherwise be neglected. Something happens when we get to know, when we eat with people who are outcast, people who are strangers to us. Something changes when we eat with them or when we talk with them. What is it? We get to know them, and we get to know their plight. We get to know how they had it so tough. We get to know that the structures around them are treating them badly. And then we start to care for them too. How do we get justice? How do we get justice in our society? It starts by us knowing people who are outcast, who are isolated, who are strangers. When we know them, we will care about them, and we will also care about justice. In that reading we had from Micah, they were asking what sort of things should we offer to God, and the thing that God wanted offered to him was for us as people to love mercy, to seek justice, and to walk humbly with God. That the offertory that God loves is for us to seek these things. And mercy and justice is wrapped up with those who are outcast. And so, friends, I want to encourage us all to once again have a look for those people who might otherwise just pass us by, or we may well ignore. People who may have no friends. They could be refugees. They could be people from other towns who have moved here who don't know anyone. They could be people who smell. They could be people who have tattoos. Right? People who we might not like normally to be with. That might be the very place where God wants us to seek justice. There's another reading from Hebrews 13, and it says, "Don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." This is the sort of thing, if you're looking to give God a gift with your life, and this is the thing we're talking about with living in exile, how everything in our life turns into a gift. Our family's a gift, our work's a gift, and our seeing the stranger and seeking justice is a gift. Don't forget to do good and share. Yes, even share your coffee time sometimes. Well, I want to just tie one more image back in. Because it can be tough, because some of the people that we'd encounter who are outcast seem entirely unlovable, and we might be afraid. How can we treat all people with dignity? How can we embrace the outcast, especially when they seem so unlovable? And what I want to bring us back to is the biblical image from the start of Genesis, to say that we are all made in the image of God. If that is true, then even if that image is marred and covered in dust and dirt, it is nonetheless still the image of God. And there's this idea in the ancient world, when they used to build a temple, they'd put a statue of the god in the temple. You will understand that idea. And then the idea was, when you came and brought food and put it before the idol, you were actually giving food to the god. Or if you came and dressed the statue, you were dressing that god. It's very interesting that at the start of creation, God's temple, the image was put in the temple, but humanity is the image of God put in that temple, in the temple of the world. And as we care for our neighbour, care for the outcast who is the image of God, we are actually caring for God. What we do to his image, we do to him. So when we care for it, we're caring for him, and when we disregard it, we are actually disregarding him. That's probably why in Matthew 25, Jesus says, if you do it for the least of them, you do it for me. As we see everybody with dignity, because they have it, made in the image of God, then we can seek justice. Then, as we seek justice, we will have a chance of helping all of our organisations run to the glory of God. So may we give a gift to God, caring for those who are made in his image. As I finish now, I've got a little video, which it's a song. It's called The Face of Christ.
He shares a room outside with a dozen other guys, and the only roof he knows is that sometimes starry sky. A tattered sleeping bag on a concrete slab is his bed, and it's too cold to talk tonight, so I just sit with him instead and think, how did I find myself in a little place? Can't look down on the frown on the other guy's face. When I snooze down, no look him square in the eye. I get a funny feeling, I just might be dealing with a big surprise. After 16 years in a cold gray prison yard, somehow his heart is soft, but keeping simple faith is hard. He lays his Bible open on the table next to me, and as I hear his humble prayer, I feel his longing to be free someday. How did I find myself in a better place? I can't look down on the frown on the other guy's face. When I stoop down low, choice which day you would be born, or the color of your skin, or what planet you'd be on. Would your mind be strong? Would your eyes be blue or brown? Whether daddy would be rich, or if mama stuck around at all. So if you find yourself in a better place, you can't look down on the ground. You gotta stoop down low, look him square in the eye. You get a funny feeling, you just might be dealing. Oh, how did I find myself in a better place? I can't look down on the frown on the other guy's face. When I stoop down low, look him square in the eye.
Heavenly Father, may we see your image in all people of the world, no matter how marred. May we treat your image as we would treat you. Give us mercy. Give us justice. And help us to humbly walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.